Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. We have got a great program for you today. On the show is Marie Dubuque. Marie specializes in social interaction, and you know, you ever stick your foot in your mouth and you want to try to get out of it? She specializes in how to do that. Marie's on the program today. Remember that The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We're going to work on our social skills today, but we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers. You're on The Journey of Hope. You know, one of my most favorite things in the world is when I get an email from one of y'all telling me how you're doing. Don't need to know your last name, don't need to know what you went to prison for, or anything like that. Just drop me an email and let me know how you're doing. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Certified life coach, and she specializes in like social interaction situations. What a cool subject for the show today. Marie, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Oh, thanks, Rodney. Great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Hey, listen, why don't you give us a little bit about your background and how you came to kind of specialize in this particular area? It's interesting.
Well, it was a few years ago, and my son, he's in high school, and he was having issues and just all kinds of questions he would have. And then I realized that a lot of people had those same questions. So I became a life coach, and I started my YouTube channel, and now I have thousands and thousands of viewers, because I think it resonates with a lot of people. A lot of people are shy deep down. I think we all are, and everyone seems to have problems with social situations at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a radio host, I bet you've been shy at one time. Do you think?
I've done many, many of these shows now, and I still get a little bit of butterflies, you know? So, well, hey, listen, let me ask you this. What is the most common mistake that people make in social situations? What would you say that is?
Well, I think what people are afraid of are awkward silences, and they're afraid that they're going to run out of things to say. But what I tell people is just ask questions, and then you don't have to do the talking. And I think that's what people are so worried about, is just having to carry the conversation. And then they want to be funny. And, you know, people are just funny naturally, and you just got to be yourself. I know it sounds so cliche, but it's true. Just be yourself. Just talk, and talk about the events in your life, and that's just naturally funny. Because if you try, you know how it is. Mm-hmm. If you try to come off funny, it just comes off lame.
Unless you're like a professional comedian or something.
Right, yeah. Then I guess, yeah. But I mean, even there, even like Seinfeld, you know, even then, they talk about their life, you know, the day-to-day things that happen in their lives, and that's just funny. And then I think the people that don't ask enough questions, and they don't listen well enough, because if you really listen to people, then you'll automatically have a conversation, because then you'll know what to say, because you'll respond to what they're saying. I mean, as a radio, being radio, you have to listen, but do you think that a lot of people don't? I mean, that's what I come across. They just, they love to talk, and they don't listen.
Yeah, a lot of people are good at nodding their head, and they're thinking about their grocery list, right? I mean, isn't that kind of how it goes?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Well, let's, you know, the demographic here is ex-offenders, and let's kind of narrow the discussion a little bit towards that particular group of people. And ex-offenders have to bite their tongue a lot, you know, and I hear a lot about situations, particularly on the job, with colleagues that may know their history. How do we keep polite when we're pissed?
Right, for lack of a better word. And you don't want to lie. You never want to lie. But also, I don't think that you have to give all your personal information up front right away. I mean, people think that in order to be close to somebody, that they have to just spill their guts right away. When you meet somebody and you don't have to give out personal information, and you don't have to tell people every single thing about your life, and really, it's none of their business. So be polite, be nice, but just avoid is what I say. If you don't want to talk about something, you don't have to talk about it.
Well, let me get your opinion on this. We ask people this all the time on the show. Let's see what you think about this. There's really no right or wrong answer here, but would you have a suggestion on at what point in a platonic relationship that an ex-offender should reveal their past? Would you have some thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely, definitely, because I get this question constantly, not from ex-offenders necessarily, but from people who they feel that they can trust somebody, and then they tell something to somebody, and then that person just spreads it around. And it doesn't matter if you were in jail, or if you have something horrific that happened to you, or something that you just don't want to share with people. Mm-hmm. And it's happened to all of us, where you tell somebody something in confidence, and they go and they spread it around. So I say wait until you know that you can absolutely trust that person. And it could be 3 weeks, it could be 3 months, or 3 years. And I think you're going to know. And you're going to know by how that person treats other people and how you see them respond to other people. Now, if they're sitting there telling you something somebody said, like you have people say, well, oh, so-and-so told me this, and she said not to tell anybody, but I'm going to tell you. You know what I'm saying? If they start doing that, never share anything. But if people are trustworthy and you've told them something and you haven't heard it from other people, then you know you can trust them. And I think you'll know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take it just a step further, and I may be pushing it here just a little bit, but what would be your advice in a romantic relationship? I mean, at what point would an ex-offender need to reveal? Would it be immediately? What advice would you have along those lines?
I would say when it becomes monogamous, and when you are boyfriend-girlfriend, when you can introduce the person you're with, this is my boyfriend, this is my girlfriend. Before that point, before you say that, and before you become a couple, you know, at first, you know, when you're dating, you don't really know if it's going to be a relationship, but when you know that moment that you know that I think this is going to be a relationship, and it could be the third date or the second date, you need to tell them. You really, because otherwise, the longer you wait, it's going to be like that elephant in the room, and you're going to like, and it's going to be harder, and it's going to be harder, and the person is going to start to resent you because you didn't say it. So definitely, and it could be the second date. If you feel like this is the love of your life and you really feel that way, you could have to tell them the second date.
I noticed.
So glad to get it out there.
Yeah, I noticed that that one of the things you said, somewhere I read when I was reading about you, you said the biggest mistake that people make on a first date, speaking of dates, what would that be?
Oh, I think revealing too much too soon, just like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you want to feel close to some of the people. And I think because this is such an anonymous society and we're so spread out that you want to feel close to people. And then but people are mistaken in thinking that they can do that just by revealing all this personal information. And that's a huge mistake. It will come back to bite you. I honestly think that. So don't reveal personal information. That's the biggest number one problem.
Okay. And so in the context of an ex-offender, another thing that you mentioned in some things that I've read is you talk about how to more easily meet people. Many ex-offenders, when they come home, they don't want to go back to that lifestyle, so they're faced with making friends with people for the first time. Can you talk to us a little bit about how to go about doing that in a way that's not so darn stressful? And
oh, right. And plus, you don't want to be with that group of friends that you had before you were incarcerated. Absolutely. I mean, you want to stay the heck away from them. So you have to meet a whole new group of friends, and I know that can be tough. But, and this is what I tell everybody, not just ex-offenders. I say, you know, you don't need to meet people in the bars. You don't need to go to clubs and that kind of thing. I mean, you can, that's fine. But I say the best way to meet new people is through organizations in your community. Softball leagues are great, hiking clubs, anything that involves exercising, even meeting people at the gym, anything that involves your passion and what you like to do, cycling, anything. But just think about what you like to do and then join a group. And then automatically those people are going to share that same passion and you're going to meet people. And it's so much easier than if you're out in a bar or, you know, some kind of even a party is tough. Definitely sports.
Sports. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to be anything competitive, like running. Like I said, cycling, rowing, whatever it is that you like to do. But just get out there, get active, and meet people.
Okay, Marie, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we've got more with Marie, and we'll be right back after this. Y'all, just want to let you know what's coming up in the next two or three weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. We've got Carl Mathis coming up with his inspiring story, Eleanor Stutz. We're going to be talking about jobs with her and job searching. And Jan Coates will be here in about 3 weeks. And she specializes in attitude and how to adjust it. Listen, I've already done the interview with her. You want to check that out. All these people have targeted you as ex-offenders and have something very important to say. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them on the show. But they're coming up in the next two or three weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. She is an expert in social interaction situations. You know, you ever had a faux pas, stuck your foot in your mouth? Well, we're going to ask her about that right now. Welcome back to The Journey of Hope, Marie. Listen, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you mentioned in YouTube, on YouTube. And by the way, Marie has a huge following on YouTube, and I encourage you, we'll put a link up for that, and I encourage you to go check it out. What do you do if somebody blocks you on Facebook? How do you handle that?
Oh, my gosh, good question. And also, that's a great point, what you made about putting your foot in your mouth. And I'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, when someone blocks you on Facebook, don't make a big deal about it. It's just like if someone told you in real life, I don't want to be your friend anymore. So if they block you on Facebook, it's the same thing. You can't act like it bothers you. You just got to just not even act like anything happened. Just treat them completely normally. Because then, if you make a big deal about it, they will too, and it'll be really awkward. So act like nothing ever happened, and it's not bothering you at all. And also, I think, too, like what you said about people putting their their mouth. It's like when you say something that you think, oh my gosh, I just said that and I'm so mortified. But I can't tell you how many times, I mean, we've all done it. We've said something, we wish we could take it back, but honestly.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And but even when you, Rodney, when you feel mortified, you said it probably on the radio too, things, I don't know, but
yeah.
That you wish you could take back. But if you just feel mortified, it's like you just a blip on people's radar. They don't care. They're not talking about it. They probably don't even, they go home and they're not saying, oh, look what she said. Did you hear what she said? So what is mortifying to you really isn't most likely to other people. So you've got to just get past it. And people can't get past it. But you have to. You got to pretend it never happened and just move on. And don't let it ruin your whole night, your whole life, anything. Because you said it. What are you going to do now? You said it, just move on.
I noticed that you also, when you were talking about Facebook, you've got a video about whether it's okay to post what you want for your birthday. What do you think? Is it okay to do that?
Oh, my God, no. Can you believe, I even got that question. I can't believe it. I don't even like gift registries, please. But to go and post, like, you've got to get me this, that, and the other thing. I mean, we are so self-entitled.
Aren't we?
You know, and I believe, I mean, do you, I have a question for you, too. I mean, I've got ex-felons. Do they have, like, a new appreciation because you've been incarcerated? And then now, all of a sudden, you really appreciate things. And I think people, like a lot of these kids now, they're so spoiled and they expect everything.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you are suddenly back in the outside world and you just, you must, like, appreciate things and have just a new reality. Is that the case?
It is absolutely the case. I mean, I catch myself watching birds. I mean, I hate to sound corny, but that's the truth. I watch birds. I like looking at trees.
Yeah.
I mean, I never did that before. And I was gone for 7 years and 11 months. And so when I came home, I I've been home for about 3 years now. And yeah, I catch myself looking at birds and trees and thinking about what other people feel. And, being something that turned the way I think incarceration did that to me. And I think that you would find, and these listeners would also tell you that happens to most people that are incarcerated. You know, you hear a lot about recidivism rates and so forth, but most people don't want to go back. You know, they want to change their social situation. They want to make friends that are productive members of society, and they want to fall into that. And that kind of leads into my next question. You were talking about, we talked a little bit about how to find friends. What about romantic relationships? Do you give people advice on how to find people to date?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's got to be harder for, you know, to date, like you said, but, you know, you just have to go, as if you did it before you were incarcerated. You know, you find people and you get a connection, and then it doesn't have to be forced. You just have to get to know people. And I think, again, people try so hard to make people like them, but don't do that. Just make people feel like that you're yourself, and they're going to like you because of you, not because you're trying to impress them. And I think that's the biggest mistake, too. You said about first dates, people try too hard to impress. They need to like you for you. And if they don't, you don't want anything to do with them. Don't try. Don't try so hard. Because why? Down the road, you're going to be in a relationship, and they need to be comfortable with you. And you're not going to be putting on a front or some kind of an air. Or, you know, you're not going to have an image then. You're going to be yourself, so might as well start that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, a big topic here, Marie, has to do with employment, and I know that you address how to dress for an interview and how to get that interview. In terms of ex-offenders, and I realize this is a very difficult question, but in terms of ex-offenders, what kinds of advice would you like to pass along to the listeners along those lines?
As far as dressing for interviews,
mm-hmm.
and how to put yourself out there.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? I think, it, like, almost like a date. You don't want to try so hard to impress them. You want to make sure it's a good fit. And I see that. I got a letter from somebody saying, oh, I just froze up, and I feel like I need to be on medication next time for my next job interview. No, it's just he was underqualified. He knew it was a reach. So that's why you froze up, feeling confident. So go into the job interview confident, knowing that you can do it, and then find out as much as you can about that company. Make sure it's a good fit, because you don't want to be trying so hard to impress them, and then all of a sudden you get there and you hate it. So you need to find out whether you want to work there and whether they are good enough for you, not the other way around. I know that sounds crazy, but it's not. Because if they're not a good fit and you don't think that you're compatible and that they're up to your standards, then why work there? And if you don't feel like you mesh with the other employees and with the boss and you just don't get a good feeling, there's another job. There's another job out there, because you don't want to be in this job where it's a bad fit, you're miserable, and you could be missing out on another job because you're stuck in this job that you took just because you thought that you had to have it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I feel like we've just scratched the surface. I've been scanning through your YouTube videos, and I want to encourage everybody to take a look at Marie Dubuque's YouTube videos. And like I said before, we'll put a link up for that. Marie, how do people get in touch with you other than YouTube? Do you have a web page? Do you how can we find you on the internet?
Contact me through YouTube, and that's youtube.com/Marie Dubuque, or I have another YouTube page, youtube.com/Manners by Marie, and a blog spot. So that's at www.blogspot.com/Manners by Marie. I talk a lot about etiquette, so and you can reach me through those pages, and I'd love to hear from you all. And it was great talking to you.
It's a great, great subject. I'm so glad you were here with us today. Marie Dubuque, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope.
Oh, Rodney, thank you. It was a pleasure.
I'm Rodney Mathers. We're going to be right back after this.
Among them had a big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw, loose and running, came the whisper from each lip.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. I want to thank my special guest, Marie Dubuque, and I want to encourage you to take a look at, in the description of this week's show, we've got some links that you might want to check out there, and I suggest you do, because it's some really cool stuff. And I want to remind you of something. If God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.